Good evening. I want to call this meeting to order. We have a quorum and a couple of things. We will have a county administrator. We'll talk a little bit about the tax base. I would draw everyone's attention to where we are right now. We started out with a tentative budget of 2.34. After Tuesday night's meeting, we're at 2.50. And that's a 0.16% change of 1%. And I gave you a very small introduction, Joe. Do you?
Yeah, and this is a very small item, too.
Okay.
Jay will periodically update us on the change in the assessment base for the upcoming year. He just sent us something yesterday. There's been a slight decline as he settles certiorari's and all that stuff. He builds that into the next year's base. So the tax base is going to decline a tiny bit from $6.742 billion to $6.738 billion. It's a decline of $3.5 million or so. Kevin, it has a penny, an impact of a penny on the tax rate. Is that what it does?
Yes. At the end of the last voting meeting, the tax rate in the amended budget column was 6.85, I believe. Let me double check.
Probably not. With 6.85, it should actually go up a bit. Because the rate is simply the tax levy divided by the base. When the base goes down a bit, it's going to raise the rate. It's a penny impact on rate, but we wanted to bring that to your attention. It will have because it changes rate, it will affect the average tax bill a tiny bit. But again, it's an almost imperceptible change, but we want to bring you up to speed on all these things as they happen.
Kevin?
Yes, sir.
May I ask you, I'm looking at a sheet and it's got 24 and 25 and it has Kathy Loves Herrera's name on and she's not here. Is someone else?
She sent those to me at the end of, right before close of business.
So is someone else, do we know that someone else is going to?
Steve, maybe.
Yeah, okay. Brian?
Can I ask a question too? And I don't know what order you're taking them, but the first one that's up there, dealing with the outreach initiative?
Yeah.
Nate was going to report back to us on that. Should we wait until he gets
all right
here for that?
Nate will. I was actually going to use my wonderful privilege here and kind of move some of the items around a little bit. I did get an email from Nate or a text that it is in the city budget. And Nate was recommending, and he will say it out loud, but if we were going to do it, it would be a one-time expense for next year, and that was the way it is in the city budget, and that was his thought, that it should be a one-time. But he is claiming to be here at 6:15, so we will see. So what I am going to do is move to Julie Kiefer. You have one down at the bottom, number 23, Planning Department, 68.5, one time. You want to go with that one?
Sure.
Oh, here's Kathy. Okay, go ahead.
Or not.
Go ahead.
The Water Resources Council, which falls under the Planning Department's aegis, did a pilot project in the town of Dryden to see if the wetlands mapping as reflected in the federal national wetlands inventory and the DEC state inventory is as accurate as it could be. And what they found using a couple of recent LIDAR flyovers and having a geospatial analyst interpret the data was that the National Wetlands Inventory and DEC's inventory have many, many errors in them. And the Cayuga Lake Watershed, which is a not-for-profit, went to the Park Foundation for a grant to expand this pilot project from Dryden to the whole of Tompkins County, since accurate or more accurate wetlands information is of great use to entities that have land use interests, to other municipalities, to developers, farmers, and having better information sounded like a really good thing, and I was delighted to learn that the Park Foundation has actually given the Watershed Network $25,000 toward this project, and they're willing to make that public at this point. So what's missing to cover the full cost of the project for the expert who's doing the work is an additional $6,855, and it seems like a really good use of one-time money from funds to let this happen in its complete intention. So my motion is one time to the planning department for $6,855 to supplement the Park Foundation grant for this countywide wetlands mapping.
Is there a second? Carol, discussion. Carol?
So I see Ed Marks here. Do you have more that anything more that you'd like to tell us about or would be willing to tell us about?
I saw not really.
Carol, if you have a question.
I didn't realize that he was here. I would have asked him to
speak. Right. No, I knew. I realized he was behind you.
This would really be to, you know, have a contractual agreement with the Cuda Lake Watershed Network for the work to be done for the amount that the county is putting in, so to assure that the project would be completed with the funds we provided. So that would be about it.
Ed, I have, was this ever in the discussion for the 2015 budget?
No, it's a more recent development than.
All right, thank you. Anyone else?
So,
Will, and then Carol.
Is it reasonable to assume that had we had this, and this may be a question for Ed, that we would have actually been in a better position as we were trying to market the and develop the Biggs property and sort of ran into that snag?
Quite possibly. I'll be very curious if it is done to see what it comes up with for that property compared to what we found is the reality there.
Okay, thank you.
Carol.
Yeah, so Dooley is our liaison to the Water Resources Council and, you know, has learned about this in more depth. So I would trust her judgment that this is something that would be worthy of doing and that it's something that would help our riparian understanding. So I hope that it's one-time money, and I hope we'll support it.
Anyone else? Are we ready to vote on this? Please. Signify by raising your hand for $6,855 to planning one time to supplemental funds for the Park Foundation grant. Please raise your hand and say aye. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Opposed. One, two, three, four. It passes. Hello, Kathy. How are you?
Good.
We have, Nate is involved with a couple of these that I wanted to wait for him. And he's going to be here at 6:15. So if you would like to do your number 24 and 25, we could go that way.
Will I get do-overs when he arrives?
I'm sorry?
Will I get do-overs when he arrives?
Well, we can do it over. We'll see. Someone else, you would have to just recycle a resolution.
All right.
That's what this is about, voting meetings.
Just real quick, I'm going to say that...
Do you have one of these?
I don't know, but...
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I think this is a real good budget. I think y'all have done a really good job. It's great being able to watch it on TV, and I appreciate all the work. Well, I don't know if I can appreciate all of it, but I think that a lot of work went into it and that it's a good job. I noticed a couple of things in just looking through it because I was thinking, you know, would I want to support this budget? And one of the things that came out for me was youth services. You see on the paper that I'm suggesting the OTR 5-6. And on the description, it says to fully support the youth services planner position. But if you read the effective not funded part, it talks about, let's see if I can find it. One position was selected instead of reducing hours of all staff below full-time. Reducing hours of all staff full-time, using one-time rollover funding to sustain the planning and coordination function or shifting funding from contracted services. It kind of seemed like that was drastic to me, and I know that y'all did what you could with it, but I heard somebody say a while back that there's no one on this board that doesn't appreciate youth services and that doesn't support youth services. And just from the perspective I've been having over the last few weeks and months, it's become really apparent to me that investing money in our youth is the way to go. It's really important, especially in the climate that we're in these days. And I believe that this isn't a matter of an investment, although it could be put that way, and certainly there's returns on it, but it's one of those things where we've got an obligation because we say this is something that we all stand for, and yet the message that we're sending by cutting this really essential spot, and even if it isn't an essential spot, think about it, it's cutting, reducing the hours of all staff below full-time or taking away half of this really important support function. So I believe that we're saying we support youth services, but by not supporting this fully, we're really we're attacking the morale of the entire department because what we're saying is, you know, we're saying it's important, but really there's a lot of other things that are more important. And relatively speaking, I think this is something we should support. So I would like to move it, only I was supposed to say I'd like to move this, and if I can get a second, I'll tell you why, and I forgot that part. So just forget so all what I just said, and somebody please give me a second, and then we could discuss it.
Is there a second to what Kathy is doing, Julie Kiefer? Back to you, Kathy, and then Brian.
What I said.
Brian.
My memory doesn't serve me that well right now, but this was a split OTR, and half of it, judging by the amount that's being requested, half of the target amount was supported, and the other half, which was one time, was not supported at all.
Okay. No, it originally came to us as fully supported with target dollars. So if you double that, it was $76,000 or so.
Yep.
Fully supported with target. The way it's come to you is half is supported with target, the other half is supported with one-time money. So the position is fully funded in 2015, but it is, again, half of that position is funded with one-time money, which gives the department a chance to adjust for the 2016 budget.
Okay. Any other comments? Carol.
I just want to make sure I fully understand that. So what's on the sheet that we had before, you've already got it in the budget, but none of it at target?
Half. So this takes the other half that's funded with one time, and it converts it to target. That's why that change duration box is coded.
Joe,
would it be a half-time position under this proposal?
No. Carol, can I give you a little info? Yeah. The sheet that you have in your hand,
But I'm trying to understand.
Now, let me explain what I know in my simple terms, and someone else can do a better job in lightening up a bit more. But in number 56, retain the planner position will otherwise be cut due to federal aid loss. And it was $76,647 net local. Joe put in target $38,324, which Kathy has put forward. And And it was one time for the other half of it. Is that?
It's fully funded. It's a full-time position. We'll carry through 2015. So it has full funding through 2015. But half of that 2015 money is one-time money, which means it will not recur in 2016 unless the legislature decides to do that in 2016.
So there's a federal match funding involved with this?
No, this is all local.
Where was this?
It was a federal aid loss.
Right. That's what prompted these cuts.
Loss.
They lost a large federal grant.
Okay. So we won't have... Okay.
I shouldn't say they lost it. It expired after 10 years.
Okay. Is there any prospect for federal money coming back if we carry this position forward?
I have Will and then Kathy.
Thanks, Jim. So, Joe, as I recall, the following year is going to be sort of a year of studying and transition for all the things. Is this part of that? And did that go into your thinking as to
very much?
Maybe,
yeah. Because we are, I mean, we've talked a little bit about the desire to come together with the city and talk about youth services on both sides, city and county, and whether we can find in that discussion any areas where we duplicate, we can find greater efficiencies and so forth to put both agencies on a stronger footing come 2016. So as we finish this budget, that'll be on the front burner for the legislature and for us to pursue that. So that's very much a part of the thinking.
Kathy.
Thank you. I just want to close by pointing out what it talks about that this person does. I don't know if any one person could do this, but apparently at the present time, the planner position is responsible, and this is for the public too, is responsible for coordination of the biannual county student survey, research and publication of biannual municipal youth data compilations, linkages to the Community Coalition for Healthy Youth, Ithaca City School District, Human Services Coalition, support of the Dryden Recreation and Youth Commission, preparation of the Youth Services Comprehensive Plan, coordination of the OJ Guide for Youth Services, primary lead on researching grants and grant data, grant writing, point person for all research conducted by the department, preparation and compilation of all data on youth services. I'm just overwhelmed. Development of studies on youth, creating systems for collecting, interpreting, and analyzing data, and preparations of departmental and community reports and records. So you want more grants? It'd be good that this person doesn't have to do everything in the whole world. And I believe that, you know, we may be investigating what to do with the city, and I think those are worthy goals, but there's a lot of county-wide youth things that are in here. And I believe that a firm target support for this would go a long way toward relieving people in the community and letting them know that, yes, we mean what we say when we say we support youth. Thank you.
Brian.
And I'm sure that position does do all the things that you just read off, and it is fully funded for next year while there's an evaluation being done of a lot of different things. So while I fully would support a one-time as it was at the beginning, I could not support the amendment that's here.
Peter Stein.
In general, I'm much disposed to vote for anything for young people, starting with Head Start and ending up with getting people jobs and teaching them how to enter the workforce. I feel very strongly about that, and I feel we don't do enough of that. My problem is that I don't quite know the right words, but the ones that come to my mind are a saying that one of Cornell's provosts that I knew quite well 30, 40 years ago, I can't remember anyone's name anymore, used to say, his discipline was the Department of Agriculture, and he had this saying that he used to repeat time and time again, you got to match your horses with your hay. And to me, that's something that people make a mistake a lot about. And here, the horses are the people that go out to interact personally with youth and to carry out the programs that we're trying to do. That's the horses. And the hay are the people that are teaching them how to do their job. And I have the feeling that you have to be very careful about doing that kind of match. And while I have a great deal of respect for the chair of the department and the whole enterprise that they're at, I'm not clear that in that department we're matching our horses with our hay. And I'm looking forward to the results of this study. And when we have results, I will fight very hard to turn that into actual reality. But I think until we do that, I'm reluctant to do that. So I'll vote against it for that reason.
Hey, are there any other comments? Are
Keith
we ready
Kennedy
to
was
vote
his name.
On Kathy's resolute amendment, which is 38,323.24 to Target? All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
One, two, three. Opposed? Three, four, nine against.
So that means Nate would have to vote how many times?
Weighted voting from the fourth ward. I don't know if it's going to work. Or third, wherever. You're up again, Kathy. Youth Services applied departmental rollover funds to expand training officers, 10,910 one time.
Okay, at this point, this is more like a buzzer shot, but it's one-time money. I'd like to put this on the floor, and if I could get a second, I'll talk about it. How's that? Thank you, Will. It's come to my attention lately that we've been utilizing the youth services folks for a lot of things community-wide that are really important, but the fact is we're not utilizing them as much as we could or should, and part of that reason is because their staff has been cut and battered and beat through the years, and essentially we're asking more and more of them. It occurred to me that in some ways they're being penalized for the training that they have by being denied the opportunity to use their own OTRs for this training. I was thinking about some of the things like the events on the commons and things that people are getting together to discuss and how important it is to have somebody that understands the way that we work with youth and the way that the approaches that we have, not just strength-based stuff, and I don't know all the jargon, but there's a way that when somebody's accustomed to the approach that works with youth, they get through better and they work better. But training is essential, and I just think this is money that's already in rollover, and I'd like to ask if somebody would, if everyone, yeah, unanimous, that would do, would support it, adding this OTR to the budget. Understand that because it's already in their funding, would there be a net impact on this?
I'm sorry?
It's an OTR, so, and it's money they already have in their budget. Anyway, I hope you'll accept this. Oh, I see somebody with their hand up.
Wait, excuse me one moment. You moved it, and Will, you seconded it? Okay, we need that for the record.
Did I say it all wrong? I made this up on the fly, Amy, and if it's okay, and if somebody asks a question that Amy has to answer, I wouldn't mind.
Well, I have Mike next, and we're, go ahead, Mike.
I think it's perfectly all right procedurally to address rollover at the budget time. But my question is this what the department is asking for to use its rollover? Is it coming from the Youth Services Department? Amy?
Yeah. So what we were requesting was to use a rollover to provide these trainings. So, yes.
Thank you.
Loveland.
So I thought I remember in the budget that there was rollover monies that were used for to support the work of an agency, contract work with an agency mm-hmm. already. So this is more rollover money that's in your budget that you
yes.
have now?
Yes.
Okay.
Mike.
I just have a question. I mean, when we normally do rollover stuff, don't we usually do that outside of the budget?
Yeah. We have, yeah.
Joe? I just remember we were doing a lot of rollover stuff, like, right before the budget.
So. Joe?
You do. So you do, it's kind of a two-phase. So departments come to you in the late spring, early summer, and we've quantified their rollover, and they say, we'd like to use a certain amount this year, and then they reserve the balance of it to use later. So you did. You just approved a whole batch. But then if you look at the budget, there are other applications of rollover in the budget, like this one.
Question. Anyone else? Dooley Kiefer, Will Burbank.
It seems to me strange to deny a department head's request to use rollover, especially when it's being used for training, which is forward-looking. I'm not on the committee that would have reviewed the earlier requests for rollover, but when they come to the legislature, they usually have the county administrator's thumbs up or thumbs down explanation with them. I actually don't remember that with this one, but based on what's in the budget, you must have said thumbs down at that time. Anyway, I fully support letting a department head use this kind of rollover this way.
I want to go to Joe and then Leslie.
This is unusual that we would not recommend a rollover. The reason that we didn't is when we looked at the projections of what the budget looks like over the next few years in youth, and Amy had some of the stats that she presented as part of her budget, it looked like the situation was going to continue to be restrained in the future. And we felt that it might be better holding back some of that rollover. I think this may exhaust your rollover.
No.
You have a little bit more?
Yeah.
So but the reason I didn't, is because I felt given what the forecast was looking like over the next few years, we might be better to hold that money back and have it available to us over the next few years to address some of the problems that may arise then.
Ludlin.
That's good for me.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
I raised my hand. I thought you saw me earlier.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I was just wondering, I was going to invite Amy, if you want to say any more about why you think it's an important use.
Sure. So we've been implementing a bunch of new systems looking at outcomes and performance-based programming. And as we implement those systems, there's a need for additional training and technical assistance. We're asking our agencies and all of our municipalities to meet these new standards, and without additional funding to support them to meet those standards, they're not going to be able to accomplish that. The other piece is how departmentally we do our rollover. In my budget presentation, I always talk about the buckets. So this is actually rollover from each area. So we try to use that rollover when we get it for that area. So the other rollover that was approved was rollover from our agencies. Our agencies didn't use that funding. This is actually combined rollover of all of the different areas, because we felt training was important across the board. So this is a blending. So when we talk about in the future, if we were to keep this rollover, I would divide it back out by who saved that money, and it would be very small amounts. We have additional rollover that we're still keeping in the reserves as well.
Thank you.
I had Carol and then Brian.
I think I got my question answered. So if we allow you to use this money this way, mm-hmm. What does that leave you in as a total of, not an amount, but does it leave you enough between your rollover, your contingent fund, whatever mm-hmm. other money to weather through what might come in the next year or two?
This will be the first time that I don't use all of my rollover in a budget season since I've been on board in 4 years. So anything is more than I had before. So the fact that this doesn't completely break down our account, that's a positive. We've never done that before.
Brian.
Thanks. So I guess now I am confused. Is it rollover that's being requested, or is it one-time money in lieu of rollover?
No, it's rollover. The only way we could code it on this was one time. So it is, in fact, rollover. It's being applied to offset that cost.
Okay.
Kathy.
Just briefly, since Amy's up here, I just want to reflect a little bit on the whole context here. And y'all know that Youth Services has been going through a lot of transitions. One of the things that I noticed is that this support position, as well as the planner support position, are ones that generate funding and that generate the kind of cooperation that we've come to not just expect and depend upon, but we demand of Youth Services. And, again, I'd really rather have gotten the 38 for the whole thing, because I think that there's a way that when you say let's save it for a rainy day, but then you take away all the buckets, you know, for the rain and for people to be able to generate grant money, that you're kind of ensuring, maybe not ensuring, but it's disastrous was one of the words that I saw in there. So I thought this would help a little bit. I'd really rather have the other one, but this just one more thing. Under the reason for request, I don't know if everybody has an idea of the scope of the work that they do, but it says here, each year, Tompkins County Youth Services Department provides a tremendous amount of technical assistance to all of our community partners, from agencies to municipalities and volunteer groups, when meeting with all of our partners. They often share that, due to reductions in funding, their ability to provide training for their staff and volunteers has deeply eroded, and in some cases disappeared. This rollover funding will allow Tompkins County Youth Services to serve as a conduit for trainings for those who work with youth in a variety of sectors and municipalities, again, stressing the collaboration and the importance of this to the community. It's one time, and it's their own OTR, it's their own rollover.
Amy.
Just one final thing. Kevin handed me what would be remaining balance. That was a question. We'll have about $17,000 if this is granted. We'll still have about $17,000 in rollover.
Amy, my question for you is, who actually does the training?
That's why there's more in it, because we'd be bringing in some outside facilitators for some of the training. So we have, right now, when we rolled out the results-based accountability program, we're contracting with the results leadership group, who does international trainings. Actually, our trainers in Africa right now rolling that out. So we would be bringing in some trainers, and then some is in-house and in-town. So we call on a multitude of resources.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments on this issue? All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed? Anyone opposed? Peter Stein, did you vote?
Yeah, I voted.
Opposed.
Just voted opposed.
Were you yes or no?
No.
Okay. So it passes.
Thank you.
Smashing victory, 11 to 1. And you've added one-time money or subtracted some from the fund balance. We're down to the last two, and...
Wait, should we be doing that? If it's rollover money, why is that even in the... I mean, I guess, wouldn't it just be part of her budget? It wouldn't be...
You want to answer that, Joe?
Well, it's rollover. It will not affect levy, so she's offset the increase with rollover, so it... I didn't check the numbers. It shouldn't affect that.
I mean, it's rollover from last year, so why is it affecting this year?
Does it have to come back before ledge through the budget committee again?
You approve. This is a weird thing of our budget, too. It's a negative expenditure. I think that's the way we show it in the budget. So we will make those accounting entries. So it doesn't really affect any of those bottom line numbers, because it's a rollover account. It's one of the many quirks of our budget.
Okay. We have two left, and one is the set-aside funding for eventual City of Ithaca Downtown Community Outreach Initiative. We have that as one time. And as I stated at the beginning of the meeting, Nate wanted to be here, but he did say that it was in part of the city budget, or it's already in. And we have our friend Kevin Sutherland here, who can probably verify that if he feels like talking, or he just decided to go to another meeting. Mike.
I would like to move this, since it was postponed till tonight. I would move it, and I will move it tonight as a one-time.
Okay. Is there a second? Brian, discussion. It's moved and seconded. Carol?
Yes, well, so a lot of questions came up last time about what this would be and how and what the process would be moving forward. Can somebody speak to that? Kevin?
Is Kevin go ahead, person? Kevin.
And don't rush.
Trying to make a donation to my alma mater.
We're stalling, Jim, for Nate.
24-hour challenge.
I've already kicked in.
All right. We're at 525. We need to get to 700.
Yeah, I know.
So 750. So anyway.
Order.
SUNY Oswego, we're doing a campaign kickoff.
I'm shocked they even know I graduated from there. It was so long ago.
Moving right along.
Anyway, sorry.
Go ahead.
So this position that we're working with the DIA, our planning department went with Gary Ferguson up to Burlington, Vermont, to look at what they do and the situation they have there. What we're looking right now is to try to partner with the county, the DIA, and some private funds to try to create a position. Again, not all the details have been worked out. We're just looking to see if there was support from a financial standpoint. I believe one time would work out well, because that would give us time to know that there's support, know that there's money behind it. The city has $20,000 in its contingency account, which we would move into an account line when the time comes, likely a contract with the county or some variation of that. So all the details haven't been worked out. We haven't even had a larger group meeting with all the players at this point.
Michael.
And that's correct. And what we're simply doing is trying to park some money in our contingent fund that could then likely fund the library as a partner in this with the city.
Julie?
As I believe I said last time, I think it's fine if the city and the county want to get together on this. I do not think it's fine if the library and the city get together on this. I think this is a county responsibility. And if we wish to do this, that's fine, and we can channel the money to the library if that's fine. But I don't think the library should be the principal signatory for this. And I hate to oppose something on those grounds, but if that's the way you're describing it, I'll have to vote no.
I'd hate to have you oppose it, because I think this is a good thing for our library.
I think it's a good thing for the county.
Peter, and then who had their hand up back there? Mike? And then we'll go to Kathy.
just to answer Dooley, as far as I'm concerned, the more the merrier. I mean, this is a real problem. It's a problem for the library. It's a problem for TCAT. It's a serious problem for TCAT. They had a little cafe down there, and three people have left it after running it for a while. And it's never clear exactly what the reason is, but the ambience of the people that come into there has been a problem for all the people who are involved in that. I think it's important to try to do something about this, and so I support it.
Thank you, Peter. I have Mike, and then Kathy, and then Brian.
It is important to do something about this, but I just don't think it's our purview. I don't understand why this is, just because we own the building, I don't understand why we need to pitch in to help police it. It would be like if we had a bunch of people out in front of this building and the city said, well, we can't take care of this problem, so you're going to need to pitch in. Would we do that for every county building? We wouldn't. If Dryden, the village of Dryden, came and said, we're having trouble policing around our library or some county property, I don't know. It seems like we are wading into an area that isn't our responsibility. If you wanted to say to me, the sheriff's department has come to us and said, we want to hire a community person to kind of check out the library more often, okay, at least that's the sheriff's department. That's what we do there. But to be funding the city, a city position, out of county monies is very, very separate. And it seems like we're mixing the pot, and I don't want to mix the pot.
Mike, not to be argumentative, I do not believe it will be a city position nor a county position. I think there's another place for the money to go. Joe, you had your hand up?
Yeah, that's correct. And again, when it was presented by Gary Ferguson and Seth Murtaugh, it was the position was going to be housed in the Family and Children's Services, so it would be a contracted position. And if I can editorialize just for a tiny bit, the other hook to the county, the other important thing to the county is this has been a part of the alternatives to incarceration discussion. And one of the purposes of this position will be to deal with individuals in ways other than arresting them and putting them in jail. So we think this could have an impact on our jail population. So in addition to the library, the significance of the library, there is that other significance to the county as a part of an overall desire and goal to reduce the jail population.
I have Kathy and Brian and Will.
Thank you. I've got a question for Dooley, and so it'll give you a chance to talk, Dooley. And then I just want to get something clarified in my own head. But Dooley had mentioned that I think your reasons for not wanting it to be the county are different than what Mike just expressed, and I was wondering what they are.
Oh, I want it to be the county. I don't want it to be the library. I think it's appropriate for the city and the county to jointly do this through FNCS, if that's what the best source is. And I raised my hand just now to ask whether Burlington their agreement is between their city and their county, or what it's between. Did it have a private part of the county doing it, Kevin?
Unfortunately, I do not know the answer to that, but I do know that their call volumes to their 911 center went down significantly after they had somebody who was essentially a partner with the people who tend to hang out there.
I absolutely support this community outreach approach. I think the county should be responsible for it and not the library.
May I ask Mike a question?
Sure.
Mike, did you want to put it in the city or the county contingent fund, not the library?
I want to put it in the county contingent fund for now.
For now, okay.
So that it would be, but earmarked, as we do from time to time, we earmark things that if it were needed, it could go to the library if as part of the funding with this MOU that we expect to be developed.
Much the same as we did with Living Wage.
Yes.
All right. And then now we're back to, wait a minute. Who else was there? Were a couple.
I didn't get to finish. I asked Dooley a question, but I didn't get
all right,
to
go ahead.
Comment. Thanks. So here's what's going on with me on this. I think this is one of those things that's a good idea, but I don't think it's ready for prime time. And there's a couple of reasons why. We just had, and yes, I am beating a horse that is still alive and breathing as far as I'm concerned, and we just had a situation where there's person that is a planner that coordinates all this stuff. A lot of this is youth stuff, as y'all know, but we're going to try and reinvent the wheel. Who knows who we're going to bring in from what agency, how much training they have. We got people that are already trained, that are already integrated, and I really would like to see this be some kind of a collaboration between our existing agencies with folks that understand the system, the youth that have a training in you know, strength-based stuff. I like the idea of it not necessarily being policing until it should come to that, but I don't think this is ready for prime time. The whole notion of there being, now, here's the way I understand it, and y'all have to correct me if I'm wrong. The reason, I suppose, that's being proposed for the library is so that there'll be a physical place attached to it, so it won't be this expectation of like, okay, now the county's going to take care of policing places in the county that have their own police force, but it's because we want to do it in a different way. Okay, so by having a place to say it's at, I don't think y'all are saying that this would be the only place it was done, is that right? Would it also go on to the commons where this person, social worker, whoever it is going to be walking around? I think that's a good idea. I think the notion that we have to attach it to a place has a good intention, but it's one of those things that comes when you try and rush something through, and I think it could have disastrous consequences. We could have somebody, I'm sorry, just out of social worker school that doesn't know the systems that go on here and how there's youth that are caught in the system or youth that are about to graduate into the system. And somebody that has youth services training, somebody that is part of our county, and they understand CJATI, they understand our approach, I think would be much more effective. We would have a much less steep learning curve, and it could involve partnership with youth services. So I'm not really ready to support this. I like the idea, but I think there's too many extraneous ends that aren't being dealt with, and I think it could be a big step back because we could have somebody coming in that really doesn't get it, and what are we going to do? Invest a bunch of training in them. We've got it already. Come on.
Brian.
Thanks. And that's a good point, Kathy. This isn't ready for prime time, and I think that's been spoken about already. It's an initiative, just as it says, and I think the funds are in the proper place as far as the contingent fund. I don't really care. It's all county money. I don't care if it goes through the library or if it stays right with our finance or whatever. It's still county funds, and it is $20,000, of which I don't want to take a guess, but it's conceivable that $20,000 may end up being a net savings by the time you get done if it creates less people in jail as we hope that it will. You'd have to do the math to figure out how many less arrests and jail days it would take to do that. And I'm glad that Joe, obviously I'm going to support this, but Joe, I'm glad that you brought up that this was a recommendation from the Jail Alternatives Task Force. That let me remind you that we endorse that recommendation. So I will support this.
Thank you, Will.
And I will too. I think as Brian so well pointed out, this is not a fully developed thing. It came to us late. The approach, I think, is yet to be worked out. My hope, Kathy, is that we would, in fact, be drawing on people with lots of experience, because I think that's the greatest chance of success. But while this particular project is new, the need has been brought to us now for some time. I think at least 2 years we've been hearing from the library, which is, I think, why it made sense initially to link it there. But I'm also aware the problem is not specifically to the library. It does exist on the commons and will when more people are back there. I don't know if anybody's walked through our lovely DeWitt Park at odd hours of late. There are a lot of folk hanging out there, and I think some of them have some issues that could end up getting them in trouble with the law, but also just as easily could send them in another direction. If you had somebody with the approach of trying to reach out, connect, get people operating as part of the community. So I think it's a really good idea, and I want to thank Mike for bringing this to us.
We have Kathy and then Leslin, and Nate just appeared, but I truly would like to vote on this after Leslin. Go ahead, Kathy.
Thanks. For me, the notion that this is Target and, that we ended up cutting the youth services department. Is it? It says here Target.
It's been changed.
Yeah, but it has
one
been changed.
Time.
The motion on the floor is for one time.
Okay, that helps a lot. But the fact is we're cutting youth services by 38 for this new thing. We don't know what it is. We don't know who we're going to contract with. We're kind of going to outsource it maybe. And yet we're taking a position that we've got funding for, that we've got training for, and we're basically casting doubt on whether we even support it. I appreciate Mike for bringing it up, but it kind of feels to me like we're shorting our own current employees for an idea that isn't ready yet, and I won't be supporting this.
Kathy, let me just correct one thing. The $38,000, we are not cutting $38,000. We have half in Target, half in one time, okay? Because, all right.
But if we took this 20 grand, we could only have 18 be in one time. I'm just saying. That.
All right, but I just want to make sure that the record is correct.
Well, and I understand, but to me, that's what it looks like. It looks like we're taking it
all
away from youth services, and I don't want it to look that way. I want the folks at youth services to know that they're fully supported by the legislature instead of some scheme that we don't even know what it is. And what they do is well-documented, and it works, and we need to keep doing it.
Okay, Leslin and Carol Chalk.
This is a simple question. Do we have to do this now? Is this something that can come back at a different time that we're looking to get out of reserves when we have a more formulated plan?
What resolution?
Who are you asking?
Whomever, I don't know.
Okay, well, let me try and then Joe tries. I think what it does for me as one legislator, it sends a message that we're willing to be involved in even the planning process. And we have the money in the checking account. And if this thing works out, then we would be very willing to be involved in this. But go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, let me start there and just to reinforce that. Remember where the money is going. It's going into contingency. And remember what it takes to get it out of contingency. It has to be approved by you. So it can't be actually applied until you're certain that this is a good plan that works for everybody. That's why it's in contingency. That's why it makes sense to put it into contingency. Could you do it next year? Could you open the books next year after this has taken greater shape and take money out of contingency or out of reserves? The honest answer is yes, you could. However, our contingent fund is sized in a way that we think meets the needs. So we have some experience in terminal pay and those kinds of things that hit the contingency fund. So if we don't supplement the contingency fund, that might get a little lean next year if we took money out for this. So again, coming back to where we were, this is a placeholder. And if the plan isn't developed to your satisfaction when the year goes on, then this money can simply sit in the contingent account and be there for other purposes or just, again, a buffer for the county.
Carol.
Yeah, so my question was similar. It's just, what would the process be for us hearing more about this? Would it have to come back to us for a vote?
Oh, absolutely. It would have to go through a committee. Oh. So it's like an appropriation of anything else. Come back through a committee, full presentation. The committee would have to be okay. It would come to the full legislature, and it takes that kind of action to draw it out of a contingent account and have it appropriated into specific line items, in this case, the library. So, yes.
Well, then I would urge us all to support this, and then we will have another decision point at which we can decide whether
I'm looking for an opportunity to do that.
So I wasn't...
Leslin.
I wasn't done yet, but thank you. This question is for Kevin. If I understood you correctly earlier, and please let me know, that what the planning committee around this really hasn't met again.
That is correct. We just want to make sure we have support for it.
So there's looking for support, and you're looking at city, county. You mentioned the Downtown Alliance.
Correct.
As well as private funding.
Correct. And it will really help support our efforts if we know that both the county and the city have money in their even contingency account earmarked.
I understand that. My follow-up question is, what is sort of the budget for this position that has been sort of assumed that we know we need 20,000 here and 20,000 there?
Well, I would anticipate that it wouldn't be a full year anyway. So I think we're trying to gather about $60,000 or $70,000 for this contract position. So that would cover salary and fringes, depending on the agency we worked with. If it came in-house, we might need to work a little to get a little more money. But again, having the support from the county and the city at the $20,000 level will show that we can leverage more from grants.
So we're looking for about $70,000.
I think that's our goal at this moment. It may be more if it ends up being an in-house operation.
Thank you.
Half of 70 is about 38. Just saying.
Are we ready to vote on this? All in favor of parking $20,000 in the Tompkins County Contingent Fund, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? 1, 2, 3. And that is...
I would like the minutes or what record or whatever it is to show that I support the concept, but that I think it should be our county involved in it, not our library, as the MOU partner. And that's how it's being described for putting in contingency by the movers' own description.
Can I please ask for a refill? Because if that's the case, then I'm not voting for it.
No.
I thought that was not the case.
It is not the case.
It's just in contingency.
It's in contingency, but it's in there as described by Mr. Lane, which was that the for library use. And that's not how I see this. I see it as broader than library, and it should be county doing it. So I just want my reason for voting no when I actually support the approach, but not the specific one that Mr. Lane described.
Anyone want to speak to that? I mean, it's in the contingent fund. I don't know what else we can say that makes it more clear. And, you know.
Thank you.
The vote was taken. It's 9-3. We're moving on. Okay. Thank you. Next one, Carol Chalk. Solid Waste Management Division. Restore household annual fee by $2. To install 4 compost collection sites at 25K each, expense of $100,984 one time. Go ahead.
There's just a typo in this. It should have been reduce household annual fee by $2 because we would still be reducing people's household annual fee. So I'd like the headline for this to be county reduces household annual waste fee and expands compost collection sites.
Let me ask you a question. Isn't it $50 in the budget, Joe?
The current fee is $56.
Right. And what is
the recommended budget brings that down to 52, a reduction of 4. The OTR, the amendment being proposed, would bring it to 54. So it's still a $2 reduction from where it is, but it's $2 higher than what's in the recommended budget.
Okay. Well, I'd like to make a motion to have a household annual fee that would be a total of $54 instead of the current $56. And to expand our current compost collection sites, we can afford 4 of them with the difference. So I'd like to move that.
But
it would
I
be $100,900.
Yeah. Okay. Is there a second to
and
that?
It would be one time. This would be one time money.
Okay. Is there a second?
No.
Dan, go ahead.
Is that
Nate? Yeah, are you ready?
Clear enough?
That is clear. Yeah, I know, but it's no.
Okay.
You're fine.
So when can I speak?
Well, Nate had his hand up first.
Oh no! I was just saying that I was willing to. Dan wasn't.
Yeah, yes, you may,
like
Carol.
To actually, have Jeff come up and speak to this program.
What's on the floor?
Excuse me.
To make the annual fee $56 and use the
$4. No. $54, and we're adding $100,984 one time.
I moved it, so do I get to speak?
Hold on.
Okay.
One second. All right. I have Carol. Who else got their hand up? Mike? Somebody else? Both Mikes. Go ahead, Carol.
Okay. So this item came to us first in the public presentation of the budget, and I was confused by it. And when I asked questions, when Barb, who, by the way, was sorry that she couldn't come, and Jeff Dunn is here, and I will ask him in a minute to come up and tell us more about this. But what started me off on this was asking, where did our solid waste fee show up in our budget? What line was it on, so that I could go look in our budget book and see where is it and what effect would it have on that part of our budget? And the answer, as I understand it, and Jeff can talk a little bit more, is that it isn't in a specific spot. What we do with that money, which is currently $56, and under this proposal would become $54, we've paid off some of the capital, the debt, but we also now spend it across all of our recycling programs. And so it isn't in a specific spot, the spending of that. What we also do at the same time is we had piloted, and are one of the most successful things we've ever done, which is this compost program. But I was confused by where it is in the budget, and also by Barb was, and I had some confusion between us on the terminology of what's a collection bin and what's a collection spot. And so I'd like Jeff, I asked Jeff, there was also written material that was supposed to be distributed to legislators that, of the dollar fees. Did that end up on our desks?
Okay. I think you all received the email last week or so that was a reiteration of a note that Barb Ekstrom had written to Carol, and it was sent at Carol's request, distributed to all of you, that broke down the cost of operating these drop spots. I think it's important to note that we've budgeted for the expansion of this program in 2015 by at least two additional drop spot locations. Whatever additional funding by changing the annual fee, if you choose to do that, we'll be more than happy to add four additional spots. Whatever we want to do or whatever you want us to do is what can be possible. So, what we've seen in this year, and it's a little early to actually have some hard numbers for these drop spots, but at the beginning of August, we've sort of had a phased rollout of three drop spots throughout the county, one at the Dryden Town Highway Department that opened August 1st. September opened a location at Cornell Cooperative Extension. Sharon Anderson is here. She can speak to that if you wish. That's been only open now about 3 weeks. And we plan to open the third satellite drop spot, if you will, at the Lansing Village office at the end of the month, a week from Saturday. So with the Recycling and Solid Waste Center drop spot and the 24-hour location at Cayuga Compost in Trumansburg, that will give us five locations where folks can take their food scraps, which includes their meat, bones, dairy, their paper products, their compostable disposables, and participate in this program, reducing their trash production significantly, reducing smells from their garbage cans, and as well as obviously reducing the amount of money they spend on trash tags. It's been a wildly popular program, as Barb had mentioned a couple of weeks ago, that this has been wildly successful. And we hear nothing but incredibly positive feedback from residents who are participating. Folks who come into the office to be equipped with a kitchen caddy, compostable bags, transport containers, which is free of charge to them. The resounding thing we hear is that we thank you for doing this program. We're so excited about it. And the attendants at our drop spots on the weekends are hearing the same thing. So we do intend to expand it. I mean, this is the next frontier of recycling. It will take account for a significant chunk of that next 15% that we need to achieve in order to reach the 75% waste diversion goal by 2016. And we do plan to expand it. We've budgeted to expand it by two more drop spots, undetermined at this time where it would be. And I think the issue before you is whether you want to see additional drop spots, given whatever revenues allows us under the annual fee.
I have Mike Lane, Mike Sigler, Brian, and then Nate.
The solid waste fee has been raised in the last few years to cover costs. At least for two, maybe 3 years, we've been told by the Solid Waste Department that when we got to this year and the bonds were pretty much being paid off, our costs in the solid waste department, that there would be a real ability to reduce the solid waste fee again. for the past 2 years, I've hesitated. I used to be the guy that always wanted it to go down at least $1 a year or $2 a year. I've held back and not moved to reduce the solid waste fee based upon this promise that the solid waste fee would be one of the things that would be the savings would be used for. Whether we like the food scrap recycling or not, and it seems to be very popular, I'm glad to know that, it does not generate any revenue for us. It's a complete cost to us to do that. Unlike, for example, selling cardboard, which we get some money back for. And whereas we want to encourage people to do more recycling and the food scraps, I don't think that we will be hindering the solid waste department if we do what their program recommended in the original budget without saying, well, let's spend another $100,000. Let's not give any money back to the people or only let's reduce it by $2. One of the things that we have to do is constantly take a look at and fight the effort to say, oh, there's some money, let's spend it. We need to spend it only when something is out there that we can be sure of is going to be staffed properly, that's going to be able to work the way we need it to. And we also need to make sure that what we set up isn't going to make a lot of people unhappy. When we first did recycling, general recycling, we had drop-off areas in Lansing and Caroline and I think Dryden and several other places. And people liked those because they got used to taking their recycling to them. And it became sort of a social thing to do on a Saturday morning for a lot of groups. Well, we proceeded to go to curbside collection. And when we did that, we said we could close these various drop-offs, which cost us money to staff every Saturday. And we were replacing it with a service. And many people were very unhappy that we were closing the drop-offs because they liked to go to the drop-offs. And I'm really afraid that's what's going to happen here. I fully believe we're going to be picking up these scraps at the curbside with the regular recycling in the future. And I don't think we need to expand the drop-offs. I think if we're going to do something, we ought to look at how do we get our recycler to be able to take these as well. So having all of that comes around to the fact that I think we ought to keep what we said, and I think the Solid Waste Department has done what it has promised it would do, and that's a promise to the ratepayers to reduce this by $4. And I can't support taking $2 away from that to spend another $100,000.
Mike Sigler.
Mine was more of a question since you're here.
Mike, please use your mic.
Oh, sorry. I mean, are there any? This is a pretty good refund. I mean, do you have any capital plans coming forward that maybe we should be bracing for as opposed to kind of doing this?
Well, keep in mind, we don't take the food scraps we don't process.
This is completely
separate.
Not partnership. I'm talking about other solid waste division. Do you have any major, projects, you need to redo something at the facility?
Joe, I don't know if that's something that you can address.
Well, there is a facilities improvement plan that's put, it's in the capital program, so it's in the budget. So the facility is now 20 years old, so there is a planned maintenance program there. There's also some landfill work at one of the old landfills. Anyway, there is some capital need in the future. I believe, though, that that's been factored into the five-year kind of financial projection that Solid Waste does, and I believe that can be accommodated within that plan. That's my recollection.
Okay. Okay. I have Brian, Nate, Jim, and Carol.
Thanks. And this one's for you, Jeff. By the way, has anybody ever told you have a voice for radio?
Yes. I do want to know that I do the short straw today.
Yeah.
Regardless, I'm happy to be here.
I think you told me, or you told us, that in your 2015 budget, you have already budgeted for two new locations.
That's correct.
Similar to those, mm-hmm. with locations yet to be determined.
That's right.
I would imagine they're probably, the locations are kind of consumer driven. You know, you listen to your consumers and try to find a place that would fit those requests.
Our goal is to try to find locations that will provide a reach for the countywide. So that no matter where you live in the county, you will be able to easily be accessible to these locations, okay. to these drop spots.
All right.
So that's what we're looking at as we're examining potential locations.
Okay. So you have two new spots that you're going to have, and you don't know where they're going to be.
Right.
Where are these four additional new spots going to be?
Again, we would have to cite that. I mean, that would be part of the planning process.
Okay.
If we're going to do two versus four or six,
okay.
you know, the criteria would be the same for each one of those.
Okay. And do we know if there is at this point, do we know if there is a call for that?
You mean on the part of the public?
Yes.
I would say that, you know, it's not overwhelming. We're not flooded with calls on that. But when we are out and about at several of our outreach events this summer, we did hear folks who said, oh, are you going to bring one to Caroline? Or when are you going to open one in Groton? There were a few examples like that.
Okay.
So it certainly is in the minds of some folks.
Okay. And it sounds like it was in the minds of you folks when you were developing your budget and the rollout and implementation of this plan would be done over time, not to oversaturate, but to keep up with demand and so on and so forth. So it sounds like you have a long-range plan already.
Exactly.
I would guess that you're going to make a similar request next year that you did this year.
Based on whatever happens in 2015 and how these sites that we currently have grow.
Right. I mean,
it's a very new program.
Yep.
I mean, the drop spots are okay. new. The first one just opened in August. I mean, I'm talking about these satellite locations in communities.
Right.
That's still fairly new.
Okay. You're helping me to my point mm-hmm. where it's we take it upon ourselves sometimes to ask for things that weren't asked for, and something that we may need, let's say, probably could use in the future when we have more data, when we have more product, if you will, to put in there. It seems to me you guys are doing a very good job of planning, budgeting as you go along for a relatively new initiative, and I won't support four new collection sites when we don't even know where the two that are in the budget are going to be. I'm assuming that as time goes on, if the demand's there, we will be willing to do that.
Nate Shinagawa.
Yeah, I support this. I support it because, you know, if we are to reach our 75% diversion goal, compost is a critical component of that. And to me, the demand is actually irrelevant, and I'll tell you why. Nobody cared about having a tablet computer 5 years ago. Today, Apple announced today they sold 224 million iPads, right? There was no marketing data to show that there was a tablet market 5 years ago. But what do you have to do? You have to introduce the concept to people. And so compost is one way that you do that. You know, these compost sites. I mean, it's going to take, it has to be, I mean, if you're going to introduce a new concept, it has to be easy for people to take that concept on. And I think that having these sites in more locations boosts the convenience, gets people more into the habit. So, yes, it may be inevitable that at some point we do curbside compost collection. But just like recycling, people have to get into the habit of it, and I think this is something that will accelerate it. And to me, I see this as a bit of a compromise, too. I mean, it was $56. We're going to, the county administrator recommended it going down to 52. We're putting it back up through this process to 54 in this amendment so that we could do something that will help us achieve our goals. I think it's a pretty simple, logical thing, and I'm happy to support it. Now, also in the city of Ithaca, I think there's also some need for it too, because people have been talking increasingly about a vermin problem, and I actually know that quite specifically because I have a house in Fall Creek that my brothers and my sister live at, and now we have rats, and we haven't had rats in 4 years, and I think that with all of these, there's lots of compost piles around the city, and I think that something like this, having it more accessible and easy for people to use, would help out with that. So that's one of my side reasons for supporting it. But my fundamental one is that we have a goal. We've got to get there as quickly as possible. We've got to make it easy for people to do it. And this is something that does that.
I have myself and then Carol Chalk, Peter Will, and Kathy. Nate, I agree with everything you've said. And I especially agree with you because there are two new slots in the budget.
Right.
And I think how solid waste has worked so well for so many years after they figured out what to do about the land out there, and is that they've had a plan, they've followed the plan, the county legislature has helped them with that, they've remained an enterprise operation, and it's because of the thoughtfulness of that group. And I think, I'm very willing to let them do what they need to do within their budget. I am not willing to support this at this time. Next year, you come back, add two more, you got me. All right? I have Carol Chalk, Peter Will, and Kathy.
So a couple of other questions for Jeff, and then I want to say, and Sharon Anderson, and then I'd like to be able to speak to it if I can do it at the same time or come back to me, either one. So Jeff, can staff handle the additional four sites with the staff you've got now?
Oh, that would not be a problem. We would not be staffing the sites. We would hire attendants on a contract basis that would be doing the job. The planning is pretty much, I don't want to say it's cookie cutter, but now that you've done a few, I mean, you're basically going through the same motions to set up each one. Okay. And so a lot of that backstory, if you will, staff time has already been done.
Okay, and the staff that you'd have to hire is included in that $27,000 per location budget. And if you can confirm, Barb, what Barb had said is
four hours per location, because it would be open on a weekend for about 4 hours max. On either a Saturday or a Sunday. We have discussed the idea of perhaps doing an evening drop spot somewhere during the week as a midweek alternative. Keep in mind, we haven't budgeted for any of the materials, the toolkits, the caddies, the bags, the transport containers. So that would all be part of that $25,000 per spot cost.
Okay.
Yeah, and there may be location cost depending on where it is. We may have to have a storage unit for the materials, and that's all factored in the cost.
So if you have a donated spot, for example, the Coal Yard Cafe has begged to have one of these in their parking lot. They're thinking that it would bring business in, people dropping off their compost and staying for coffee and muffins. That was about a $2,000 per site savings.
Well, I don't know if there was a specific in Barb's email to you that she was indicating that if there was no charge, it would save several thousand dollars per year.
Okay. So. And then how much space would a business have to come up with to keep one of these? Give us a point to something that's about the size of what they'd have to come up with in their parking lot.
Well, the current setups have two of these type-size totes that you see over here in the corner. and I think some of you have it on the back of your literature that was distributed. So you would need to have, that would be at that setup, there would be a table, there'd be a pop-up tent. There'd have to be room for, you know, vehicles to come in and exit. It's not an appreciably large area that's required.
Okay. And the size of the thing that I'd have to have in my house or
it's a 5 or 6 gallon transport container.
Yeah, so around the size of that water bucket over there. Okay.
You know, it's similar to the size of, you know, like a water or a driveway sealant comes in that size bucket.
Okay. And I've had cause, this hasn't been a trivial issue in my, you know, on my listserv, on my neighborhood listserv. It's been dozens and dozens of emails about, is composting good or bad? Is it creating the rat problem? Are people doing it correctly? If done correctly, it doesn't. My concern has been that, and then part of the reason I started looking into this was that composting is getting a bad name before we even started out. So I wanted to find a way for us to get out in front of this. But as part of that, we've had calls for these stations in 3 different locations, at the school, this Coal Yard Cafe that has volunteered, and people would really like to see a college town location. And I know there's been calls, you mentioned, to other communities. So will it be harder or easier for you to pick 2 locations than 6?
I don't know if it would be any harder. You know, we'd have to obviously narrow it down and maximize where those locations are going to be that they're for maximum effectiveness. But again, we're not at a point where we're ready to identify where those would be.
Okay. And then, Sharon, if you could come and talk to us a little bit. I was talking to Ken Schlatter, who said, you know, we've been doing compost. I talked to him way back when down the neighborhood listservs, this whole issue of the rats and compost. And I know that Cooperative Extension had been doing composting education for years and is more familiar with some of the
two
issues
decades
that come up. With it. What?
So it's been 2 decades that we've been doing compost education, really focused on home composting. But we know that there are a lot of people that can't, won't, or don't, even though we've done surveys at 2 different times. We have a very high percentage of people in the county that compost. But we also know we have a very high percentage of renters. And that is the most challenging group for us to work with, people that are in some sort of group living situation, like some of the campus co-housing facilities, or renters, which may not have the space to or may not be allowed to. And while we try to be creative and work with them, it's 50% of the people in Tompkins County. So this certainly provides them with the opportunity to do what they want to do, which is to take care of their organic waste and see them be used as a resource as opposed to trash. And we do get people who say, you know, when is this coming? We really want to have this happen, to have more of the drop-offs. We know from what's happened elsewhere in the country and also through our own history of recycling that the more convenient it is for people, the more they'll actually participate. Even for those people that do home composting, as Jeff mentioned, meat scraps, dairy products, soiled paper, really can't go effectively into the home compost. So for people that do compost, there's still some lack of places, things they can add, and some people won't do it in the winter. So there's a number of different factors why we think that it's a really great direction the county is moving in. We have a drop-off site at Cooperative Extension that just started a few weeks ago. We're glad to have that and to support it. And then I'll just add lastly that while it's not a huge reduction in greenhouse gas emissions, it does have implications there as well, that we're not tracking all that organic matter, which can be up to about 1/4 of our trash that we accumulate, trekking that up to Seneca Meadows. And once it is in the landfill, it decomposes in a way that produces methane and more greenhouse gases. So, again, not huge, but it also helps us with our greenhouse gas reduction goals as well as our solid waste goals.
If you have factored in the transportation factor for people having to go to 2 or 3 collection points around the county rather than 7?
Again, the more convenient it is, the more people participate, and it is less driving, I think. You know, that certainly is a minor factor as well.
Okay.
Peter.
Thank you, but wait, I'm not done.
Carol, it's been a very long time.
I have questions. I'd just like to sum up. Can I?
I think we don't.
Well, I'd like to just talk about the public-private partnership aspect of this. So one of the things that we haven't talked about yet is the fact that this is a partnership with a business in Trumansburg. It's Cayuga Compost, and this would be covered under the current contract. That's the only other point I wanted to make. Thank you.
Who's next?
I was on the list, but I think Peter was actually next. Peter Steinus. My coffee refill.
Peter?
Yeah. Let me get back to
my... I'll keep talking if you'd prefer. Because I do hope that people, even people who had dug in their heels before coming in here, would consider based on some of this evidence about the population.
I'm having a hard time following this discussion.
Peter, I didn't call on you, but
I'm sorry.
Carol, are you done?
I did, Jim, in your absence.
I'm sorry?
I did. I called on Peter in your absence.
Oh, all right. Oh, go ahead, Peter. Repeat that for the minutes. I'm having a hard time following this.
I'm having a hard time following
Thanks.
This.
All right. Did you have a question?
No, I had a statement, not a question. Okay. This is a very technical issue. It isn't very often that people think of garbage as being technical, but this is a technical issue. And I have enormous respect for the recycling center and how they do it, and particularly its leader. And I have often raised questions and I get answers which seem to me reasonable and answer my question and often change my mind. And, you know, I quoted Keith Kennedy before. Here's another thing that Keith Kennedy might have said, is better let your horses pull you than you pull your horses. And I think that's more or less correct also, that if Barb came here and said we want to do this, that we think it's the right thing to do, I'd raise both hands immediately. I wouldn't even need to hear anymore. But that's not what we do. We're having something that seems sort of backwards to me. So I just am not willing to vote for this. I'm sure if it had been Barb that was presenting it, I would have voted for it. But it's not the right way that we ought to conduct our business, I believe.
Will.
Thank you. Well, Peter, I'm sure Barb would have been here if she could, but... I will be voting for this, and it's actually against my own self-interest, because I am fortunate to live in one of the tiny part of our county where we have curbside compost pickup once a week. My compost will be out tomorrow. It's as easy as pie. It is saving me money. And this fee that we're talking about reducing, literally, if we, instead of giving a $4 back, we give $2 back, I will save far more of that. Already am saving far more in that in terms of what I'm not having to put in garbage. It's a cost avoidance service that's wonderful. I wish that we could be extending the curbside to every household in our county. And I know that is actually where we're headed eventually. This is a transition, and it's also a way of saving money. Long before I got the curbside, I was aware of the drop-off, and I would literally pack up the few things that I couldn't put into my compost, and I would take it to there. But gosh, folks, this is as you know, it's always a whole lot easier it's very hard for us to increase the fee if we at this stage just. Reduce it a little less than Joe had recommended, the citizens will be benefiting in a very, very concrete way. So I hope you guys, folks, will consider supporting this.
That's it. I have Kathy and now Dooley. Go ahead, Kathy.
Thank you. I'm a big fan of solid waste. I'm a big fan of Barb. And I love the way that through the years they've helped us decrease our footprint. Right now, my trash, after all the, you know, recycling that I do and everything, more than half of it is food scraps. I'm one of those folks that used to get in the truck and carry my stuff once they started doing it at down at Solid Waste. I would go down there and do it, and sometimes I'd take some from my neighbors. I agree there's a vermin problem, and I think that some of it may come from improper composting. I confess I'm one of those people that can't, won't, or don't compost, partly because I don't do it very well. But I'm thrilled at the drop-off at Cooperative Extension. I want to say that one of the things I've noticed about Solid Waste is that they trot out ideas and they plan it well and they execute it well, and there's a way that it's accepted by the public. You know, they don't, what is that thing before it's time? They don't do, I don't have a guy to quote about the horses, but anyway, if they would take $38,000 of this and put it, I would be willing to support it. Right now, they didn't put it in their OTR. It wasn't in their budget. I'm sure that they can handle this, and they're going to trot it out at the appropriate amount of time. I know it reduces greenhouse gases. I'm going to trust them to do it at the timing for them that works, and that's enough for me to say about that. But seriously, think about that $38,000. We could...
Dooley.
Thank you. I am happy to be able to agree with everything Mike Lane rehearsed for us, the history of the program and how recycling got underway. I think that the Solid Waste Division would certainly be positive about following the legislation towards lead, if that's really what we want to do, but it's not what I want to do in this case. I think curbside pickup of composting materials, it will be in our future, and that's the route we should go. I miss hearing Barbara say, you have to take baby steps before you run. I think that's always her statement. And to the extent that she has planned to do this in increments, I am perfectly content to let it happen that way. So I will not be supporting this. I guess that's
it. I think we're ready to vote. Anyone else around the room want to say anything about this?
Can we have a drive-through version of this? Wouldn't it be cool?
It occurs to me. Well, no.
Let's vote.
No, all right. All in favor of restoring annual fee, that number, $100,984, and the fourth box from the left, please raise your hand in supporting that amendment of Carol Chuck. 1, 2, 3 opposed. All the rest. 3 to 9? 3 to 8. The motion is defeated. I believe that takes care of all the things we were here to do. And what I want to do, on your desk, I will call on you. On your desk, there's an adoption of amendments to the 2015 tentative Tompkins County budget and 2015-2019 capital program. And before we move that, I'm going to go to Carol and then Dooley.
This is not about garbage, trash, compost, whatever we call it these days. I was at a meeting that finally, it's taken months and months to pull together. There's a budget connection here. Planning a memorial for Stu Stein. And the question was asked of me whether the county, I mean, there'll be a service May 3rd, but there's discussion about what way to memorialize him. And the question was asked of me, in addition to other partners who were talking about putting something in the upstate chapter of American Planning Association, Cornell, TCAD, I was asked, would the county consider putting something in? And if so, would you do it through your budget process? What would you do? And I didn't have an answer.
Carol, my sense is that the chair of the county legislature is the person to talk to about that, and then if there's going to be something that would come out of that.
But I don't understand your question, Carol. Are you saying that we should put the county should put money into some fund, or are you talking about we're actually working on a resolution that we would
hopefully
No, it was whether the county would have any money to help with either putting on the memorial and or memorializing the former chair of our legislature who brought so many students downtown, who mentored so many of us.
I can't think of any precedent for that.
No, I couldn't either, which is why I brought it to you folks.
I would refer them to Mike and the chair, and then we could deal with that from that point on. Dooley, you had your hand up?
I did. I have a comment on Carol's request, though. First, I think that if you need some money, it doesn't have to be in the 2015 budget. It should be a separate conversation. What I wanted to bring up is something that did not get submitted by the deadline for this meeting because I didn't have the information that I had requested. So I'm going to talk about it and try to move something, and we'll see what happens. I had looked at our capital program, and I believe that the bus stop that has been needed up at our health department ever since the health department moved up there is not scheduled for action until 2017. It's pretty much the cheapest thing in our capital program. It's $350,000. It's on page 3-1. And in the old days, which means not that long ago, but more than a decade ago, we had taken a position of beginning to pay for capital projects as soon as we made the decision to go forward with them in our capital program, which meant that people who would be benefiting from the project when it came online would be paying for it sooner, and it wouldn't all be put off to future people. So in terms of the bus stop at Brown Road, it would I had hoped to have information from administration about what it would do if we moved not just forward with that project to start it as soon as possible, getting it designed, but if we also went back to the original, earlier way we used to pay for things and what it would do to the 2015 budget. And that's what I had hoped to be able to submit, but I didn't have the information that I had asked for. I had gotten the information about how it would affect the debt service in the future, not beginning to charge for it till a couple of years later. So tonight, just before the meeting, I got some quick numbers from our county administrator indicating that were we to vote on moving that project forward to begin as soon as possible, which would probably mean 2015, it would, if you borrowed money for it over 20 years at an estimated 4%, it would add, I think it says, $25,000-something to the budget this year, which would be 0.06% on the levy. I hope I got that right, Joe. So that's what I would like to add as a motion. There may be no second, but I wanted people to understand what I was thinking about.
Is there a second? Well, any further discussion? Let me ask Joe, and is this in the 2016 budget?
Well, it's in the capital plan.
And it's
in the capital budget. It's proposed as it is in the plan, so it would begin design work in 2015.
No.
It would be constructed, yes, in 2016. It's a $350,000 total bill. And as planned in the capital plan, the debt service would be brought into the budget at the time that it's incurred. So what's being proposed is we accelerate the project and the recognition of debt service in our budget.
Which is being proposed. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? All in favor of Dooley's resolution, please raise your hand.
Thank you.
One. Opposed. Okay. Thank you very much.
Clarification, is that from 2017?
It's 2017.
Yeah. Okay.
Something did not come up earlier with solid waste, which I would like to have clarified just before we close up shop here. Oh, shoot. It came in my mind and out again. This is very embarrassing. It was.
Is this going to come in the form of a motion or is it a question?
It was a question. And it's gone.
Okay, well, We're going to be here again sometime in the future. All right, I'm ready for this resolution. If someone want to move, do you have everyone have a copy of the resolution? Do we have one up on the screen? Can you put one up on the screen?
Is it the same one in our packet?
No, it's a single sheet.
I don't have that, but I have one for Tuesday's meeting.
We handed one out the other day. It says on top, adoption of amendments 2015, 10 of Tompkins County budget. Everyone have one? We have many here.
I remember my solid waste question. I thought it was on the Facilities and Infrastructure Committee this coming Monday to set the solid waste annual fee.
Yes. I believe it is.
So if we were to have changed that tonight, that seems backwards. That was all I wanted to understand.
It's, and let me see if... we're recommended on October what day?
I'm sorry?
What day do we put in the top of it?
Would be today's date.
Which is 16th.
October 16th.
Yeah. The first blank line would be October 16th, and then we'll move down to the first resolve. And I believe the number is 46,195,453. Is it shown up there with a levy increase of 2.50? And a countywide average tax rate increase of, I don't know, what is it?
It's a decrease.
Decrease, oh, yes. Okay, because of new wood and assessment, a decrease of 0.45, right?
That's correct.
And that would go in and be a further resolved. This action also results in the increase of it's $165,000 on a median price. Is that what number goes in there? $8.67.
Yes.
On a 165 home.
Yes. So the resolution that I have reads on a $163,000 home, so that should be 165.
Yeah, that's where I'm amending that. So, and that number 867, which is $1.75 more than the 692. Okay. Questions over here. Carol, then Kathy.
So, as I recall, we had to change the wording.
Excuse me one minute. Will someone move this? A move? Is there a second? Peter. Now.
Okay. Carol. I was hoping to avoid an amendment, but as I recall, last year we had to amend this because we had a lot of discussion about is it a median valued home or average valued home?
Joe?
And what did
we did. And this reflects the changed language. We had been using the word average-priced home. Last year when we talked about it, we did talk about it's a median-priced home. So the language up there and the language in the resolution reflects what we agreed to last year. So the median-priced single-family home in Tompkins County is a $165,000 home, and that comes out of our assessment department and its records.
And what do you mean by priced? I mean, if you
valued,
look at the...
It's the value of the home.
Tax valuation.
Which is the full valuation. Which is the full valuation, right.
So that's different, because sales price...
So we don't use sales price.
It's
we
much
don't use
higher
that.
Than that.
Yeah, we don't use that. We use any given home, the median price is 165.
Well, the assessment strives to make it equal to sales price. You can't
right.
ever promise that, but that's what they're trying to do.
But if you look at the median sales price of houses in the last year, you will find it more like $197,000. So
Carol?
This is the assessed value. So I just would prefer that our wording reflects the median valued home, but
isn't that what we had last year?
This is what we agreed to last year.
This is what we agreed to last year. Kathy Rare. Anyone else? Michael.
Could we add the time of the public hearing?
It's at 7 p.m.
Seven. And that's October 21st? No.
November 10th.
November 10th.
November 10th.
Oh, I'm the sorry. Tentative budget, I looked at the bottom one. It's already in there. Sorry.
Okay. The tentative budget will be voted on Tuesday evening, October 21st, right? All in favor, please raise your hand of moving this to the...
Wait. The date you just said.
What's
the
that?
The budget will be voted on...
No, the tentative budget will be voted on October 21st. At Tuesday night's meeting.
16 before, so 21.
All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Opposed, if any. Thank you very much. 12-0.
I would like to make it clear that voting yes on this doesn't mean I'm bound to vote yes.
Oh, we'll put that in the minutes.
Thank you.
Michael.
Jim, I'd like to thank you for chairing these EBC meetings. You've done a fine job and been fair to people. I really want to thank the administrator and all the department heads and staff, and certainly Marsha Lynch and Kathy Covert and Michelle, all the people that have been here for these meetings. We aren't done yet, but I think it's important that we're through this milestone.
Let me just say thank you, Mike. Unfortunately, someone in my family disagrees with what I've been doing a little bit. My son, who watches these meetings and comments on county business, and is actually a resident in the town of Ithaca and owns property, and he calls me Jimbo. And he said, Jimbo, you were a little testy last Tuesday night. So if I were that testy, I apologize. But I don't think I was. I think I was just being normal. At any rate, thank you all for all your work, Joe, Kevin, and Kevin McGuire, and everyone, Rick, who's here all the time, and Marcia. We're not quite done, but we're at a good point. So thank you very much. And meeting is adjourned.